Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next 90 minutes, we will be discussing last night's big WrestleMania Raw at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Very special also, night two recap of WrestleMania going on today, folks, and so much news that I hope we get to it all in the 90 minutes. I guess the first and foremost we should address is that the WWE has basically been sold. They have come to terms with Endeavor, which is the company that owns the UFC, to merge UFC and WWE into one publicly traded company. This is going to leave Vince McMahon and company basically in the same position they were in. Vince McMahon's still going to remain. As a matter of fact, his powers are probably going to get more front and center, as we'll be talking about when we get to Monday Night Raw. This move will be very interesting to see how things transpire, but I think that a lot of WWE fans and a lot of wrestlers are a little bit worried. And the reason they're worried is I think it firmly puts Vince McMahon back in charge of everything. Now, he can say Triple H is in charge of creative, and you can give anyone that title. But the bottom line is, if you have to go through the boss first, you're not really in charge of creative. You may be in charge of coming up with the ideas, but who's in charge of saying, yes, run with it? That's the problem. And it appears that that person will now be Vince McMahon. Now, I've heard a lot of people say, well, when Peacock's deal is up, they're going to go back to $65 pay-per-views. I doubt it. I doubt it. Very, very highly doubt it. If they do, they will cut their own throat because no one is going to pay for that many pay-per-views. No one is going to do that. So I think they'd be cutting their own throat. I don't think you have anything to worry about there. What you do have to worry about, I think, is Vince McMahon once again glomming basically complete control over this company from who wears what to who wins to who gets pushed and who doesn't, and I think that that's probably the realistic future that we have ahead for this. Second thing we want to discuss is that apparently the script for Raw was changed a few times. Does that sound familiar? Just prior to airtime. And that Bailey apparently was scheduled to be on the show, was there, was healthy, everything was fine, and basically was told you're not on the show. For whatever reason, I don't know, which led to a really weird tweet. I don't know what's going on there. Maybe a character change. That's all we can really hope for, I guess, in this situation. But let's start with night two of WrestleMania, because something went very wrong, folks. And it really didn't take long for it to go very wrong either. We started out with Brock Lesnar versus Almost in a match we said was going to go under 5 minutes, and it did. And it consisted of basically Brock Lesnar being thrown around the ring for 4.5 minutes, hitting a few suplexes and a F5, and that's it. No story, no real psychology, no nothing, because Almost really can't do those things. And, listen, Almost is worth, you can try to rebuild them all you want. It's not going to work. We knew he wasn't going to have a good match with Brock Lesnar. He's not going to have a good match with anybody. If you want to use Almost for maybe a bodyguard or an occasional guy who comes into the ring and beats people's asses, maybe. You want to make him a regular member of the roster, you're going to have a hard, hard sell there. He's more of a special attraction than a regular roster member. And if you don't treat him as a special attraction, he's going to get old really quick. And, you know, to a certain extent, he's getting old now as far as his gimmick. It's just, it's not working because anytime he faces anybody who is remotely capable, he loses. Bobby Lashley, he loses. Brock Lesnar, he loses. So what's the knock on Omos now? Yeah, he's a big guy who can't wrestle. And when he gets in there with people who are strong and they can withstand his size difference, he loses. So being a giant is not enough. Being 7 foot whatever and 400 pounds is not enough. Clearly shown us he can't hang with the big guys. He can't hang with the top guys. Now, you can say, well, he kicked Brock Lesnar's ass all around the ring. It doesn't matter. The end of the day, 1F5, done. At the end of the day, Bobby Lashley beats him, done. So, unfortunately, I don't see anything huge in the future for Omos. And this match was not a great way to start the second night of WrestleMania because it was pretty much a dud. It was one of those matches that maybe if it was second or third on the card, you could say, okay. But you want to start with a real barn burner. You want to start with something that gets the fans excited and makes the fans really, you know, energized. This was not it, Todd. We had predicted under 5 minutes, and it sure was.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Yeah, like you said, Omos is one of those guys that just can't cut it in the ring as a wrestler. And, well, like you said, I think he should be a special attraction and to the WWE and for the fans just to show off. That's it. Or just do like a run in, like a choke slam, and do like a 911 used to do.
Yeah, there's no way they can make him a regular member of the roster and expect anything to come out of this. It's not going to work. Just not going to. We then get to Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler versus Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez versus Natalya and Shotzi versus Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville. And if it wasn't bad enough that you started out with a 5-minute clunker, you then have this. And while the women worked hard and there were some good spots in the matches, there wasn't one fan, not one, I can imagine, I was surprised when Ronda Rousey did absolutely nothing except get tagged in and get the win. It within 15 seconds after she got tagged in. You could clearly see she was still hurt. You could clearly understand she wasn't going to do anything, and you damn sure knew they were winning. So now what you've got is you've got the whole rest of your women's division. You have Liv Morgan. You have Raquel Rodriguez, Natalya, Shotzi, Chelsea Green, and Sonya Deville. Unable to even overcome a team that has one person who can't actually function in the ring because they're hurt. So a one-armed Ronda Rousey is better than everybody else. That's okay. Well, then there's your message that you're sending. So, I mean, if you are Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez, Natalya, Shotzi, Sonya Deville, or Chelsea Green, wow. Right? Pretty awful. Coming. It was inevitable, but it sends a terrible message. Terrible message. You had a chance to actually elevate the status of somebody, whether it be Liv Morgan or Raquel Rodriguez. Maybe you wanted to do it with Chelsea Green. Even if you wanted to try it with Shotzi and Natalya, somebody. You had an opportunity to elevate somebody else. And you had the perfect excuse. Well, Ronda wasn't at 100%. She couldn't help her team. Pretty hard when you can't help your team, right? That's your excuse. But by the way, Shayna Baszler nor Ronda had to be pinned in that match. They could have just said, well, we didn't win. But, I mean, quite obviously, one of our members of the team was injured and really couldn't contribute too much and made it very difficult for us to win. We didn't lose either. You could have done it that way and managed to elevate another performer. Chose not to do it. In my opinion, another very subpar booking by the WWE and just an average match at best, Todd.
Oh, yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, like you said, I could have expected more out of that that four-way women's tag team match. And, well, like you said, it was just not good. It's not great. It's just, like, kind of plain average. And like you said, it's just a
regular TV match. That's all. It wasn't a WrestleMania match. It was a TV match. And a missed opportunity, like I said. Ronda Rousey doesn't need the push. We know who she is. We know what she's capable of. Why did they need to win that? Okay, they don't have to lose it either. You don't have to have Ronda pinned or Shayna pinned. Gotcha. There are other people in this match. For the life of me, I do not understand it. We then get to the three-way dance for the Intercontinental title, Gunther, Sheamus, Drew McIntyre. This, folks, was where WrestleMania Night 2 began to pick up a little bit. These guys literally beat the living hell out of each other. They literally beat the living hell out of each other. Now, I'll tell you this. I know there's a lot of people who are really super high on Gunther. I'm not as high on Gunther as some. I'll tell you why. People are saying, oh, he's very, very good at what he does, and he's a trainer, and he's meticulous when it comes to his ring skills and his this and that. He's very poor psychology. Gunther will sell, but then he forgets he sold. So in other words, he'll be like, oh, I hurt my arm. I'm using that arm now. I'm not hurt anymore. Or I was just in the fight of my life, but now I'm not tired and I'm not hurt. He does this constantly. And I know that some people are going to say, well, that's an effort to make him look tough and whatever. Well, he's in there against two guys who are clearly heavier and bigger than him. And when you're literally no-selling things, now he sells them at the moment. But then 1 second he recovers. 1 second. It's not like he sells something. He doesn't sell in the long term. In other words, if you're working on his leg and you're working on his leg and you're working on his leg, he doesn't sell his leg later. It's just like, no, I'm fine. I think he's a subpar at that. I really do. His facial expressions are bad. He's a tough guy, and he's a hard-hitting guy. It makes him fun. He's a throwback to old-school wrestling. There's no question about that. And he worked well with Sheamus and Drew McIntyre. I'm not as high on him as some people are. I still think he's very good. Don't get me wrong. I don't dislike him. I have fun watching him in the ring. I just wish he would utilize a little better psychology sometimes. And for somebody who trains wrestlers, that should come pretty naturally. He shouldn't have to be told that. Now, it's one thing if you're being chopped by, you know, Ricochet, or you're being hit by Mustafa Ali. It's another thing when you're being claymored. It's another thing when you're being broke kicked. You got to sell some stuff in a little bit of a longer term. Second thing I have a problem with is for a guy who you're saying, oh, he has such stamina, he's so this, he's so that, he wrestled half this match. And then rolled out, you didn't see him again to the end. A good one half of this match was just Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre. A good one half of this match. Now, I do think they pulled a very good booking spot in which they clearly showed Sheamus was going to win until Drew McIntyre pulled him out. I think that was smart. But the minute Gunther won this match, I said to myself, oh, I wonder if that's going to affect Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns. Because everything that I heard was that Cody Rhodes wins, maybe Roman gets a rematch, but the next guy up for him is Gunther, who's going to go for the Universal Championship. I thought Sheamus was probably going to pin Drew McIntyre to keep Gunther strong. Gunther would have said, you know, rather than to go back for this title, I'm going even higher. American Nightmare versus, you know, a guy who clearly is sort of an anti-American character seemed to work for me. The minute Gunther won, I said, I wonder if that affects Cody. And in the long run, it turns out it did affect Cody. We'll get to that a little bit later, but a great match, Todd. Just a sort of a surprising ending for me.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Well, like you said, that was a pretty good match with those three, and they reminds me of back then, like a couple months ago, when that sort of exact same match with with Sheamus and Gunther went at it. The only two were in the ring at that time a couple months ago. They really slapped chops to each other, all three of them. And like you said, they're all working hard and stiff in this match.
Oh, they definitely were. You know, Sheamus has a built-in gimmick in that he's so pale, and I share that with him, okay? I'm also Irish, I'm also redheaded, and I'm pale. And, man, if you just slap your chest once, it gets beat red. It's so visual. So when you see Sheamus's chest all red and stuff, you're like, oh, my God, you know. It's so easy for him. It's like a built-in gimmick. So that's kind of cool. Fans were really solidly behind Sheamus. They really did want him to win. It's a shame he didn't. I think that was all just politics. I think that they had made a decision about where they wanted to go with the Universal title, and I think it affected the Intercontinental one. I really do. Had they went the other way, I think with Cody, I think that Sheamus wins this, because that would be the most logical conclusion. We get to Bianca Belair, Asuka for the Raw Women's title. They had a lot to live up to with Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley. And, they fell short. It was a good match. It was a good, solid match. It was not Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley. It wasn't that good. I think that the ending was a little weak with the mist and missing it and the whatever, but there were some good spots in here. I think that if we took Charlotte and Rhea out of the equation, we'd be saying this was an excellent match. But when you compare it to Charlotte and Rhea, no, it didn't hit that level. Good, solid match, though. We predicted Bianca Belair would hang on to it, and she did. This means that so far on night two, no belts had changed hands. So this kind of restored my original thought that Cody's winning. When Gunther retained his belt, I said, uh-oh, Cody's not winning. Then when Bianca retained hers, I said, well, maybe he is. Because are you going to have a WrestleMania where night two where no belts change hands? The answer to that was yes, apparently. Good overall match, Todd.
Like you said, that match with Bianca Belair and Asuka was a pretty good match. And, well, like you said, we all predicted Bianca Belair was going to retain the Raw Women's Championship. And, you know, they took their time with this match. Didn't take like 5 seconds. It didn't take like 2 seconds. It took like 15, 20 minutes.
It was a good long match. Yeah, they gave him plenty of time. They couldn't live up to the night before. A lot of people couldn't. I mean, that was a sensational match. Probably, I'm going to say the second best match in all of WrestleMania. We then get to the Miz spot, and out comes Shane McMahon. And within seconds after starting his little problem, I guess, match with The Miz, Shane McMahon literally blows his quad. This is what happens when you say, I just want to be a part of WrestleMania and I don't want to train for it and I'm 50 years old and I think I can just do whatever I want to do. No, you can't. And I guess Snoop Dogg had to call an audible, or somebody told him, you're going to have to fill in for this. So they did, like, guess what they were going to do with Shane McMahon, probably minus a couple of moves, and he just ends up, it was a nightmare. It was a nightmare. When Snoop Dogg can literally knock out a former WWE champion, multiple championships, I don't know what to tell you. How did The Miz come back from that? The answer is you don't. It was an unfortunate situation because it wasn't going to be Snoop Dogg. It was obviously going to be Shane, but, Shane came in unprepared, it looks like, maybe unwarmed up, whatever. He's getting older. Probably didn't do much training, if any, to get back in the ring. Just figured, I'll just get in and do a few little things. I can do it. Well, you can't. And now you're injured. And this really put a damper on the night because everybody knew, you know, something's wrong. Shane's not going to go down like that. And, you know, it was just The Miz had a really bad WrestleMania, Todd, and it was almost derogatory to wrestling in general.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I feel bad for The Miz as well. And the WrestleMania he had this year was not that great. You know, he lost both nights, got his ass beat both nights. And like you said, it was just on night two, was night one and night two for him was just not great for him.
No, it really looked bad. Made wrestling look bad in general, too, unfortunately. We then get to Edge versus the Demon Finn Balor in a Hell in a Cell match. And I guess the match was good, but I don't think it lived up to the expectations. And I think there were some reasons why. The first reason why is Finn Balor normally, when he does the demon character, really doesn't change that much about him except the entrance. He has the same moveset. He has the same... Everything's basically the same. He's just supposedly, I guess, more tenacious. Well, this time he's the Undertaker. This time he's being hit with chairs and he's just like, oh, I have no, you can't hurt me. Well, wait a minute. When did that demon ever surface? I don't remember that demon. And if that is the case, then why wouldn't you just come out there as the demon every time? If the demon is so far superior to yourself, then you would wrestle the demon all the time, right? Now, while you're doing this, here's the twisted hand of fate. While you're basically saying that Finn Balor can't be hurt when he's the demon, he gets hurt. Ladder shot, catches him in the head, busts him open. They literally have to have paramedics come in and take a look at him. So while the paramedics are taking a look at him, Edge, who's supposed to hate this guy beyond all rational belief because he tried to literally concuss his wife, has to say, oops, let me just step back and make sure he's okay. This hurt Hell in a Cell a lot. It hurt. I know it was necessary. I get it. Because you went from, I'm no-selling everything to, oh, shit, I'm hurt, and now the paramedics got to come in and take a look at a guy who's supposed to be a demon now and say, can he continue? Edge, who's supposed to have such a hatred for him that he would throw the paramedics out of the ring and open up the wound even more, has to step back and be like, uh-oh, it hurt. And I tried to recover. You know, they had a few good spots. But it never really gained its momentum after that, in my opinion. It ended up falling a lot, quite a bit short, in my opinion, of expectations. This is where the problem lies. When you book something like that, you're at the mercy of having to be extra careful. If the guy's no-selling and the gimmick is, wow, he can't be hurt, and how many times did the announcer say, he's shrugging it off? This is a very different Finn Balor. He doesn't even appear to be feeling any of this pain. And then, bam, in the head with a ladder, and it's like, oh, shit, call in the paramedics. It's hard to recover from that. You base your whole match around him not selling, and then he was forced to seek medical attention. To their credit, they went on with the match. They had some good moments. I won't say this match sucked. It didn't suck, but it never regained its momentum. And, Mike, that's a big problem with Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, that's a big problem. And, there have been times, you know, when I would watch the War Games match and people would bleed and you had Road Warriors or whatever. And, yeah, they would bleed, but they would no-sell it, you know? I understand they want to keep it safe, but this is the demon is supposed to be not be able to be hurt, right? That's what the demon is, right? So
this time at least.
Yeah, I mean... You would expect that to be the same way with the Fiend. If Bray Wyatt, if the same, put Bray Wyatt in the situation, all
right? Right.
And he's in the same match, and the same thing happens, and he's the Fiend. He gets hit with a ladder. Somehow under that mask, he gets busted open. You can tell he's busted open. He's bleeding. I'm pretty sure Bray Wyatt's gonna say, "I'm gonna carry on like it's. I'm gonna under this mask, I'm bleeding, but I'm gonna carry on like I'm not hurt, like it's not nothing to me." Because that's the character.
See, the problem with that is Finn Balor did try to wave them off. To be honest with you, he tried to wave them off, but they weren't having it. They basically forced him to be looked at by doctors. And that hurt. You're not going to regain your momentum from that. You're just not. Shame, because people, I think, expected a lot more out of this. Edge does win, obviously. Hopefully that's the end of the feud, and because we don't want to see no more of this. We then get to the main event, Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes. Some people have said this match was overbooked, but wow. This thing went almost an hour. It went like 50 minutes. It was a barn burner of a match. It had every element in it you could possibly think of. It had every false finish you could possibly think of. It had people kicking out of things you probably shouldn't kick out of, and it had an ending that we thought was going to go a little different. The Usos did come down, and I thought, this is it. Here we go. But instead, they actually helped Roman Reigns. And when their interference wasn't enough because of the Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens coming to the rescue, Solo Sikoa sneaks back in, gives Cody the Samoan Spike. Roman Reigns spears him, and Roman Reigns continues to be the champion. I'm going to tell you that no matter what Triple H said at that press conference, I do not believe that this was the plan 2 weeks ago. I just don't. I think what happened is they knew they had the company sold. They knew the bloodline was the top, top, top thing. And I think they said, we have to keep this going for a little while longer. How do we keep it going for a little while longer? Well, how about if we just have Cody not win? Roman is still the champion. We can then start working on I'm the only guy here who has a belt. Solo's proven he's not ready. You guys drop the ball and do the slow burn where they eventually will turn on him, rather than make WrestleMania the moment where they will turn on him. And I think that's coming. I don't know if it's coming with Cody Rhodes. I think when Vince McMahon got back in charge, him and Triple H probably decided that Cody Rhodes may not be the guy. Cody Rhodes may be the guy who's a main eventer and maybe a future Intercontinental or U.S. champion or something, but I don't know if they think he's the guy. And I think they want him to prove himself first with other people, which we'll get to when we do the Raw report. It ended WrestleMania on a pretty sour note for some people, though. And I guess you could say it makes people anxious to turn into Monday Night Raw. And I suppose it did. But you're running the risk now of going too far with this bloodline storyline because you've lost the heart and soul of it. The heart and soul of it was Jey Uso and Sami Zayn and their relationship. And it's done. Unless you're going to try to build it back somehow, it's done. And Roman and the Usos and Paul Heyman can't carry this that much farther without having that other element. They just can't. So now you're going to have to play up at least one of the Usos, which on my assumption will be Jay, is disgruntled with Roman. And that starts to spread to maybe Jimmy and eventually to Solo. That's the only thing I can think of. Now, when we get to the Raw report, I'll tell you why I think this is happening and how it's happening. But just sticking with this match for a minute, both of these guys pulled out all the stops. Both of these guys were pretty much flawless. This, in my opinion, was the best match of WrestleMania, followed closely by Charlotte Flair, Rhea Ripley, and then probably the three-way for the Intercontinental Championship. Those were the three top matches of WrestleMania. These guys busted ass, and they busted ass for a long period of time. So let's put to bed the nonsense that Roman can't go 10 or 15 minutes. Roman went almost an hour. And if you've never stepped in a wrestling ring, despite the fact that, yes, there are times you can rest, yes, there are rest holds, yes, there are places you can catch your breath, your average person trying to run for the first time and trying to get in a wrestling ring and do a five-minute match is out of breath, even if they're in very good shape, even if you're in good cardiovascular shape. For those guys to do 50-some-odd minutes, very, very impressive. Very impressive. Two very, very, very top professionals at the top of their game. So you can be mad about the ending. In a way, though, I think Roman deserves his 1,000 days as champ. You can be mad about the ending, but I don't think that ending was meant to happen until very recently. I think maybe solidifying this sale may have changed that in some way, shape, or form, because maybe they figured, well, we don't want to switch over to a new ownership and not have a bloodline. Bloodline's the top thing. Top selling merchandise, top draw, top ratings draw. So maybe Cody fell victim to that, Mike. At least that's my opinion.
Remember what we said about Cody, that he was promised a championship, but they just didn't say when, right?
Right.
And what have I been saying might happen about with this match? Well, I kept bringing up the dusty finish, right? Well, this is as close to a dusty finish as you'd want it to be. The guy gets screwed. We thought the guy was going to win. The guy gets screwed. The bad guy wins and shouldn't have won. And there you go. There's your dusty finish. Now, can they come back from that and maybe at some point down the line, SummerSlam, whatever, maybe next year, whatever, come back to the next WrestleMania and put it around the waist of the of Cody? Don't know, but that
I think that's right, but. I think that they maybe felt, is Cody the face to carry this company, ratings-wise, everything else-wise, and said, maybe not right now. Let's make him prove it. I mean, he was hot when he first came in because it was, oh, my God, he defected from AEW. He's a former WWE guy, and he came back. It made him very hot. Then he went through the injury and toughed it out in the Hell in a Cell match, and people are like solidly behind him because they're like, wow, what a gutsy guy. And then he's coming back to take on the guy that basically screwed over Sami Zayn that everybody hates. So a lot of his pop is like sort of, I don't want to say artificial pop, but it's a pop that was constructed in such a way that it may not last. And I think they said, you know what, let's put him against a couple other people and see if Cody's still a hot hand or if he cools down considerably if it's not Roman Reigns he's fighting. I'm not sure that's a really horrible idea because I've said from day one, Tom, I'm not sure Cody's the guy. Given a long term, maybe for a month or two or three, but giving a long term championship reign, is he going to be as popular in 3 months as he is right now? And I predict no.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think that maybe a week before, maybe a couple days before, and they said, you know what, he's not going to, it's almost like, you know, if you got that cash cow of Roman Reigns, why are you going to slaughter the cash cow? because that's exactly what would have happened. He would have ended the Bloodline storyline, and Cody would have fizzled out in 3 or 4 months. I'm with them on this idea. I was shocked. It was a great match. I was shocked, but I thought about it for a bit, and I said, you know, that's probably the better decision. And, you know, let's call a spade a spade. Triple H doesn't care for Cody that much.
No, that's true. But, again, I'm going to tell you this. I firmly believe that our scenario is better. I firmly believe that if the Usos came down there looking like they were going to help Roman Reigns and super kick them, after having been dressed down in the locker room on night two and told to go home, we don't need you here. Don't need people who lose dragging me down. Don't need people who drop the ball dragging me down. That the crowd would have been stunned. Cody would have been the champion. You still have a really good Bloodline story to tell. Because the fallout from this, people would have been like, my God, I got to tune into Raw to see what's going to happen. With Roman Reigns and Solo coming out there and maybe screaming at the Usos saying, get out here and, you know, demand an apology, blah, blah, blah. You had the makings of a real powder keg. And they chose to go the other way, Todd, but it was still a pretty good match.
I mean, absolutely right. Like you said, it was a pretty good match. A lot of false finishes in that main event match with Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns. And, you know, it's part of – it's business. It's business. Not this chance to get a new champion right now. It's just part of the business.
No, that's true. You know, they made their decision. Do they want to split up the Bloodline and go for a storyline where the Bloodline is at each other's throats? Or do they want to go for Roman? Now, here's another thing. Roman Reigns was scheduled to take some time off. It is very possible that with this new sale, they told him, we really can't afford that. You're going to have to stay for a little while. Maybe after Backlash. Maybe after SummerSlam. And Roman Reigns did say, well, I mean, I'll stick around if they want to throw some money at me. So apparently, any ideas that he was going to go do a movie or something's put on hold. It's obvious he's going to be involved in a major storyline here to some extent. I don't think you're going to see him disappearing from TV. So that'll be interesting. New owners, maybe new rules. We'll see what ends up happening. The owners, Endeavor claims Vince McMahon and Khan and Triple H, they're still going to run it. And they've let Dana White run, you know, the UFC, so maybe it's true. Let's get to Raw, because I got to tell you something, folks. Welcome back to the Vince McMahon era. If you're going to tell me that this was not Vince McMahon's Raw, then you've not been paying attention. You can tell me until the cows come home. This was Triple H's booking all over it. Really? Where? This entire thing screamed Vince McMahon from the very beginning, including the fact that they said the script was ripped up 2 or 3 times within an hour of Raw. It's been changed. That wasn't happening during the Triple H era. Bayley was supposed to be on the show. For some unknown reason, she was told not to be on the show. I'm hoping that's because of a character change that's happening. I don't know. But we literally end up with Roman Reigns in the ring with Solo and Paul Heyman talking about last night's match. Out comes Cody Rhodes. And we literally have almost a half hour of back and forth where the writing makes absolutely no sense. And here's why it makes no sense. Cody Rhodes says, I want a rematch tonight. That makes sense. Cody Rhodes also said, let's face it, last night you were the better competitor. That makes zero sense. Zero sense. Cody Rhodes should have came out and said, if it wasn't for that cement block-headed guy behind you, you'd be an ex-champion. You know it. Paul Heyman knows it. He knows it, and the fans know it. They know you lost. That makes sense. To say you were the better competitor last night, no, that's not true. Then to say, but I want a rematch tonight. Okay, that sounds logical. For Roman Reigns to turn it down, that sounds logical too. But then Cody says something really dumb and says, well, as long as we're here, then let's have a tag team match. Why would you want a tag team match, Cody? You literally just competed in a WrestleMania event for an hour where you got your ass beat. It's not going to prove a thing. And if you wanted to get your hands on anybody, it would be Solo, I would imagine. So instead of saying, I want to match with him then. Well, we know why. We know why. Then Paul Heyman says, again, totally illogically, we'll accept that under two circumstances. They had to wrestle at WrestleMania last night. Well, okay, then that basically takes away any surprise. Any surprise. We knew it wasn't going to be a Matt Riddle. We knew it wasn't going to be a Matt Cardona. We knew it wasn't going to be a Randy Orton. We knew it wasn't going to be any surprise. Bron Breakker, we knew it wasn't going to be any of them people. And someone who can never have a title shot at Roman Reigns. Well, who's going to do it? If they come down, they can never have a title shot at Roman Reigns. So no one will accept that. And out comes Brock Lesnar, who can't have a title shot at Roman Reigns. Well, on the surface, that doesn't sound too bad. You're saying that's a pretty big main event. You're going to get Brock Lesnar wrestling on television for first time in a long time. Roman Reigns on a Raw, first time in a long time. Okay, pretty solid main event. It's not logical, but at least it's a pretty solid main event. But I want you to understand that we're almost 40-some-odd minutes into the show, Mike, and there hasn't been one single solitary wrestling match.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, look, this is a point where he could have said this, you know, Cody could have said this and brought it up and basically pulled the curtain back on the way the business is run. He didn't do it, but and saying last night is what is currently and I'm talking about the Dusty finish again, and currently termed as a Dusty finish, named after my dad who came up with this stuff, you know. And I have no problem with it, but you know, X, Y, and Z, A, B, and C, the cement blockhead factored into it, which he shouldn't have done. I had you beat, you know, and you're right.
All that really had to happen here, Mike, is for him to come out and say, look, you better hand those belts to Solo, because he's the one who won last night. You didn't win anything. You keep telling him he's not ready? He's not ready, according to you, but you got to keep relying on him to be the champion. So who is it that's not ready? Is it you or is it Solo? Solo, if I were you, I'd tell him I want those belts. That way you'd sow some seeds of, oh, well, how about that? Maybe Solo is thinking that. Maybe Solo is saying, hey, wait a minute. If I'm not ready, how come I need to be on hand all the time to make sure you keep the belts? It would have sowed some seeds of discontent. It would have made us think, uh-oh, maybe Solo's turning it sometime soon or whatever. There was a lot more they could have done with it, Tom. And some of the writing just didn't seem to make sense to me.
You know, I was just going to say that. I was just going to say Cody should have said, you know, Roman should split the belts with Solo, or hand him the belts because you didn't win anything. Solo won. After he got thrown out, he comes back like a thief in the night. So you need to give him those belts. And exactly what you said with who's not – I wonder who's not ready. You have to rely on Solo. Notice Solo never says a word. He never says one word. So it could be – you know, he could have grabbed the microphone last night and said something. You know, why not? It was already going 40 minutes. But the fact is that you left something – it didn't really accomplish anything. The way it went off, and you should have given Solo some Roman dust, honestly, because he did.
But at least, you know, if anything it accomplished, we got a main event that we thought, okay, well, this is going to be a pretty good main event. My full assumption is Brock Lesnar won't factor into it all that much, and Cody will pin Roman. And they'll say, it's the first time Roman Reigns has been pinned in whatever. No, it's not for the championship, but it proves Cody can do it. I really thought that's where that was headed. Anyway, we get to the first match. Oh, my God. There's wrestling on Raw, and it's Omos versus Elias. That's what you can come up with. Let's rebuild Omos. He lost to Brock Lesnar last night in 5 minutes, so we got to prove he's every bit as tough as he always was. So let's put him against Elias, who wins nothing ever. Total squash match. Absolutely ridiculous. No reason to even talk about it. It's just, it's a waste of Elias. It's a waste of a character. It's just dumb. So I'm not even going to discuss that one. Now, the Rey Mysterio thing, that was a lot more interesting. Just inducted into the Hall of Fame. Austin Theory needs to get some heat. So this was interesting because there was a part of me that said, gee, if Rey were to upset Austin and there was going to be a rematch with him and Dominic, it would be for a title. That could be a little bit interesting. That could be quite a bit interesting. So there was a small part of me that said, maybe, just maybe, after all, this is a WrestleMania Raw. It's special. Maybe, just maybe, we're going to see an upset. Well, we didn't. We saw a good match. It was a solid match. Best match of the night. And Dominic and Damian Priest are out there, and Bad Bunny just happens to be in the audience again. And this time he gets into a jaw-jacking with Dominic. Dominic goes to punch him. He blocks it. Knocks Dominic out down with one punch. All 4'5", 102 pounds of Bad Bunny. Once again, I just don't know why you keep degrading your athletes by having people who should absolutely have no visible means of self-defense against a professional make them look dumb. I just don't know. I get it. Bad Bunny can wrestle. Good for him. But this wasn't a wrestling match. He just threw one punch. Damian Priest hauls him over the barricade, beats his ass raw, to which the announcers are saying, well, he's going to be paying a fine. Well, what do you mean? A fan just hit a wrestler. Bad Bunny had no right to throw a punch at Dominic under any circumstances or get involved in night one. Now, Damian Priest, to his credit, does mention that to Adam Pearce backstage and say, well, I didn't see you coming down on Bad Bunny when he interfered in that match. And by the way, he just took a swing at Dominic. That's actually a pretty good point. We already know where this is leading. Rey Mysterio and Bad Bunny versus Dominic and Damian Priest at Backlash. Whatever. You want to keep putting these celebrities in, go ahead and do it. You want to degrade your own brand. You want to run your own wrestlers down. You've destroyed The Miz. You're destroying Dominic. You've destroyed a half a dozen people with this ridiculous nonsense of let's let celebrities come in. I wouldn't be surprised if before she died, they let Betty White come in and pin Ronda Rousey. It's just ridiculous. I guarantee you, you would never see anything like this if the situation was reversed. None of these athletes, yeah, Bad Bunny showed that he would get beat up. That's great. Because he knows it's leading to a match, which I'm sure they're going to win. But how about we see a celebrity come in and say, well, I shouldn't really be able to defend myself against somebody that's, you know, so just let him beat my ass and get some heat off me. No, they don't want to do that. I got a movie to make where I'm a tough guy, or I got to look good for my audience. Then keep them out of it. I don't know. And they addressed it. He said, well, I would have done worse to him, but I like the guy. What are you talking about? You put him through a table. Supposedly he's going to the hospital. And you say, well, I like him. You like him. Now, what would have been interesting, and you should have done, is to have there be a little bit of heat between Dominic and Damian. Where Bad Bunny says, he threw the punch at me first. And you could have had maybe Damian Priest, say Dominic. I mean, come on, chill. He's a friend of mine. And then both of them are still trying to go at it, and Damian Priest is caught in the middle and finally sides with Dominic, but seems to do it reluctantly. Then at least you would say, that's interesting. At first, he wasn't. There is really a friendship there. It doesn't make any sense. Again, you turn on a friend, you say, that's my friend, you turn on him that quickly? That quickly for defending himself? It would have been better if Damian Priest said, Dom, you never should have threw the punch. Let's go over and just let's work this out. And then it got heated again, and they both went at each other. And this time maybe Bad Bunny threw the first punch or whatever. And then when Dominic goes down the second time, then Damian Priest says, you shouldn't have done that, and throws him around a little bit. Otherwise, I'm like, I don't see this making, I don't know, it's just, it seems like poor writing.
Yeah, it seems like poor writing, and, I mean, look, there was a lot, and it also seems like Vince is back to his micromanaging ways, you know. There was a time when you were getting both things out of Vince, you know, the poor writing, but micromanaging everything, every little detail of the thing, right? And
right.
I mean, for a long time, for a while, we were getting, Triple H had his problems, right? There were here and there he had his problems, but as a whole, he did a fairly good job, you know, when it was just him. Now that Vince is back doing what Vince does, and this we all agreed that this was a Vince McMahon Raw, well, that means that he's going to micromanage Triple H. He's going to be all up in everything, and if Triple H writes something, and he says, you know, it's going to happen. I can see it now. It's going to happen. Vince is back to his micromanaging ways.
He is, and it's not. It does not spell good things. You had the Street Profits come out and accept the challenge of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Here's why I say lazy writing, lazy writing, lazy writing. If you were going to have the Street Profits on Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania challenge team champions, why in the blue hell wasn't the showcase match for the number one contendership? Why didn't you make that match more special? I wouldn't have thought the Street Profits were winning then, because I would have said, well, if Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are winning, which they certainly are, they wouldn't let a face team win, would they? So the Street Profits probably won't win. So that would have been a big surprise. Oh, the Street Profits did win. Holy shit, we're going to see good guys versus good guys, faces versus faces. That would have been fun. And it would have threw a lot of doubt into who was going to win the showcase match, right? So you want to talk about lazy writing. If you already had your Monday Night Raw figured, this is why I know you didn't. Because if you already had your Monday Night Raw figured, you would have done that. You would have said, on top of being a showcase match, it's the number one contendership for whoever happens to be the tag team champions, and they'll face them on the WrestleMania Raw. And people would have said, oh, that's big stakes then. Okay, great. Let's see who wins. You didn't do it because it wasn't scheduled. Pretty obvious, Tom.
Yeah, and I hate when the WWE does this. I mean, how many matches did we get last night that were not scheduled?
Right. Your WrestleMania rules. The rule after WrestleMania is, well, I hope somebody challenges somebody because we got enough.
Exactly. It doesn't make any sense. So a WrestleMania Raw where people paid a top dollar for those tickets, you have no matches, zero matches planned.
I know. It's terrible. I mean, that is just terrible. But my point is, Todd, if you were going to do the Street Profits and Owens and Zayn, which is a good match, why wouldn't you then put that showcase match as a number one contenders match? I would think that would be logical.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was a pretty good match between the two teams, but my problem was this face versus faces. I would have just had, like, a heel team to come out the face Owens and Zayn there.
See, I don't even care, Mike, if it was a heel team or a face team. I'm just saying, why didn't you have the WrestleMania match be for the number one contendership if you were going to do that?
Right, and that's the thing. And again, the team that should have won that match, and you know, I wasn't here. The team that should have won that match should have been the Viking Raiders, because that would have been the match. That would have been an exciting match, you know.
Yeah, it's just a shame. I mean, again, lazy writing. So easy to say, well, if we have Monday Night Raw planned and the Street Profits are facing Owens and Zayn, let's make the showcase match for the number one contendership. Didn't do it. Didn't do it because it wasn't planned. That's very obvious. We then get Bobby Lashley backstage and Mustafa Ali, who's funny trying to do this, you know, positive Ali thing. But, again, here's another match that wasn't scheduled. So let's get this straight. Here's what you had scheduled. You had scheduled Omos versus Elias. I guess Austin Theory was going to do an open challenge, so maybe you had that scheduled. And that's about it. So far, he had no main event, none whatsoever. Yeah, that's believable. By the way, this crowd was dead. You know how they always say, oh, the crowd after WrestleMania, that crowd is insane. This crowd was church mice for the most part. Bobby Lashley comes out and squashes Mustafa Ali like anybody gives one single damn. We then have Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan versus Damage Control in a number one contenders match. And guess who wins? Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan. Damage Control dead in the water. Damage Control was Triple H's idea, Triple H's faction. You can easily tell, Todd, that Vince McMahon is back in charge.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, since Vince McMahon came back in charge, the Damage Control, it was not being dominant last night in the tag team match against Rodriguez and Morgan here, and like you said, minus Bayley, and she didn't come out with them.
Nope, did not come out, and was scheduled to come out, Mike, and was told to stay back. So I don't know what the hell's going on there. But, I mean, the Damage Control experiment is over. This is not working in any way, shape, or form. And last night basically is the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, and I firmly, Bayley, the Bayley experiment is another failed experiment. Bayley as a heel is another failed experiment. What needs to happen with Bayley is the exact thing that you brought up 3, 4, 5 months ago about her being very contrite and coming out saying, look, I'm having problems and all this stuff, and even at some point retiring. And then,
yep.
And then after a while coming back and people saying, well, where's Bayley? And even some heels saying, well, Bayley is a, you know, she took her ball and went home and all that stuff, you know, cause she wasn't getting the job done, right? So,
right.
Yeah, that's what needs to happen. Will it? Probably not, but that's what needs to happen.
Yeah, it probably won't is right. I mean, with Vince McMahon in charge now, I think we're going to see, I don't know, I think we were seeing what we're going to see. The Miz comes out, says he had more matches at WrestleMania than anybody, which is true. And this sparks the return of Matt Riddle, who got a nice pop. And I guess they're going to have a match next week. And, oh, gee, I wonder who's going to win. So let me get this straight. You're going to try to make a little bit of a push for Matt Riddle by beating The Miz, who has been beaten by Pat McAfee, beat up by a football player, beat up by Shane McMahon, and beat up by Snoop Dogg. I hope that Matt Riddle can win. If Matt Riddle gives him any offense, Matt Riddle's going to look. See, that's why you don't back yourself into these corners. Now let's work it in reverse. The Miz gets a sneaky, nasty, ridiculous, shouldn't have won win over Pat McAfee. And Snoop Dogg says, well, you cheated, man. You flat out cheated. So then on night two, Snoop Dogg says, hey, man, you cheated last night. I think the fans deserve a fair match. We got somebody else in mind for you. And here comes Shane McMahon. And if Shane could stay in the ring for 2 seconds, the Miz should have got another victory. If he couldn't have, you shouldn't have called an audible where Snoop Dogg knocks him out. You should have called an audible where the Miz says, you know what? You made the match last night. You made the match tonight. You're a big shot, right? You're making matches. Well, he can't wrestle anymore. You're going to wrestle me and beat the living hell out of Snoop Dogg. You know the heat that the Miz would have got? And then last night when he says, I'm 2 for 2 at WrestleMania. No one's ever done that I know of. I beat 2 people. I had a match a night and won. When Matt Riddle came out, he would have been coming out to fight somebody who really has a chip on his shoulder, and people would have said, I can't wait for Riddle to beat his ass. What are you talking about? His ass has gotten beat already 2 nights in a row. You've not built him up to do anything. So Matt Riddle beating him is going to mean zero. Going to mean zero. It would have meant so much more. Can you imagine if the talk of the town was the Miz beat up Snoop Dogg? Snoop Dogg may sue, said he wasn't supposed to be involved in any match, and you make a big deal out of it where it's like, you know, come on, man, who's the Miz think he is? And then the Miz could have said, that's what you get for not giving me a match at WrestleMania. I took 2. And guess what? Not only did I beat 2, I technically beat 3. And I did it easily because that's how good I am. And I could do it again tonight. I could go 4 for 3 nights. If you want to bring some jabroni out, let's do it. And then if Matt Riddle came out, the crowd would have been super popped. You could have accomplished the same thing, Tom, and had a much better match scheduled for Monday night.
That scenario that you just came up with in, a minute and a half, would have been an instant rebuild for The Miz. The Miz has done nothing in a year. You add that scenario to The Miz, it's like, okay, Miz, I know you've done nothing for the whole year and gotten pretty much beat up, so here's kind of like the spotlight. Here's your chance.
Yep.
Man, instant rebuild. Miz would have been hated. That crowd would have been all over him. And the minute Matt Riddle comes out, those fans would have woke up.
Absolutely 100%. Absolutely 100%. And I got news for you. You could have taken this one step farther. You could have had Matt Riddle come out and The Miz say, oh, no, you know, I'm not going to fight you. And here's the reason I'm not going to fight you. I don't even know if you're cleared to wrestle. Are you back? Then if he said, yeah, I'm back, okay, well, here's what we'll do. We'll schedule this fight for next week if you can clear a drug test. Can you imagine what the crowd would have went nuts if The Miz said, and I'm not touching you until you take a drug test. That would have been out the door big. And it really would have put a lot of heat on The Miz where people would have said, look, he's already beat Pat McAfee, who we like, by cheating. Shane McMahon blew out his quad, and he still was kicking at Shane McMahon until Snoop Dogg tried to interfere, and then he beat up Snoop Dogg. Now he's out here telling Matt Riddle he has to take a drug test before he puts his hands on him. Man, you would have had something for Monday night that fans would have been looking forward to, Mike. Instead, you just, you know, the big deal. So Matt Riddle's back. Of course he's going to beat The Miz.
Yeah, and here's the deal with Snoop Dogg. Going back to Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg, unlike Dominic, because they're doing this whole ex-con Dom thing, Snoop Dogg has actually spent some time behind bars. He has that credibility. So you have The Miz beat up Snoop Dogg. Well, an actual ex-con, you know, and there you go. There's his credibility, and I'm sure Snoop Dogg would have went for it. I'm sure that, you know. You say, this is
you
what we're going
to... Listen, you could have wrote so many good things, Mike. I mean, they probably wouldn't okay this line, but can you imagine if The Miz said to him, you're just mad because I probably kicked the hell last night out of your supplier? I mean, whoa, what a line that would have been, huh?
Yeah, that would have been a great line, and you would have bought it from The Miz. The Miz is one of these chicken shit, you know, heel type guys. You know, he's
absolutely.
We talk about Dominic Mysterio being that type of guy too, you know, the chicken shit heel. But that's what Miz has been doing, that thing for years.
Absolutely. And if you want to compare him to MJF, this is his MJF moment. He beats up Pat McAfee. Well, you know, Pat McAfee should have gotten in a lot of offense, and then The Miz cheats to win. That's why on night two, Snoop Dogg says, well, you cheated. I mean, what you did last night wasn't fair. The fans deserve a fair match, so I got somebody else. Then if the unfortunate thing happens with Shane, the audible you call is beat up Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg had already said on night one, I don't do this for a living, you do. So Snoop Dogg's excuse is, well, I was in there with a professional wrestler. I'm not a professional wrestler. And he attacked me. Well, Matt Riddle is a professional wrestler. So when Matt Riddle comes down on Monday night and The Miz blows him off, and you schedule the match for Monday, people would be interested in it, right? I would think. Anyway, it would have been better than what you got. Because now if Matt Riddle beats The Miz, big deal. If Matt Riddle almost loses, it gets even a two count because of The Miz. People are going to say, well, that's funny. McAfee beat him easier than that. That's funny. Snoop Dogg beat him easier than that. How come Matt Riddle's struggling to beat him? See how that doesn't make sense? It doesn't work? Doesn't make Riddle look good. Even in victory. So it negates the whole point. The way I said it, Riddle would look good in victory. Because The Miz is bragging, I beat three people in two nights. When you know, no, he didn't. But that's he still can sort of lay claim to that. That would have been great. Again, lazy writing, because that's not hard to come up with. Well, there's 10 minutes left of the show, folks, and I said to myself, 10 minutes to go on Raw, this is going to be one of the shortest tag team matches in the history of pro wrestling. I know that Brock Lesnar's matches are usually short, but wow. Well, now we know why. Brock Lesnar, for some unknown reason, turns on Cody Rhodes and literally beats his ass all over the arena. Now, Brock is very good at this. Don't get me wrong. And Brock being a heel is weird out of the clear blue sky when he seemed to be having a lot of fun with this Cowboy Brock thing, but okay. Whatever you're going to do, that's fine. But you picked the wrong people to do it against, because why in the hell wouldn't he be furious at Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman? He can't even go for the title because of them. Well, there may be an answer to this, but it may be a little deeper than we think, and it may take a long time to get to. I'm hoping it's not just, oh, Cody Rhodes screwed me out of, I don't want to hear that. I'm hoping that we're seeing the demise of the bloodline soon, and Paul Heyman, in fact, did plan this. That's why Paul Heyman said it has to be somebody who wrestled last night, and it has to be somebody who, from this point forward, will never challenge Roman Reigns again. Well, Paul had to know that person is Brock Lesnar. So perhaps Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman have worked a deal. And the deal was, you take care of Cody Rhodes so he cannot go for this title anymore, because he'll be hurt and he'll want to come after you or whatever. And eventually he's going to hook back up with Brock. That's what I'm hoping. I'm thinking we're going to see the bloodline storyline still play out the way we said, where the Usos are going to turn on Roman, probably Solo is going to too, Roman is going to leave for a little while following maybe Backlash or whatever it is. And the gimmick will be Paul Heyman can't be the leader of a face team. So he will go back with Brock Lesnar. And we will see, I suppose, the Usos and Solo be faces until Roman comes back, probably as a face too, to admit that he screwed over his family and becomes very recalcitrant over it and all that kind of stuff, and you see a face group. That's the only thing I can hope for. Because then at least I'm giving them credit for good writing. Because then if you wrote the lines, it has to be someone who wrestled at WrestleMania last night, and from this point forward they can never challenge Roman for the title again, knowing full well that you're making Paul Heyman say that because Paul Heyman, character-wise, knows Brock Lesnar's coming out, then that does make sense. If it doesn't turn out that way, Tom, it makes no sense at all.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said, with this whole this Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman thing. And, you know, like you said, every time what you see all the time would Heyman turn his back on his clients. The first time he turned his back on his one client was CM Punk back in the Money in the Bank pay-per-view a couple years ago.
Right.
Double
so if
him.
This is the case, and this is how they wrote it, purposely, Tom, then okay, I'll give him a pass on it. But if it's not, this really doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Had they have that planned, which I, you know, knowing the WWE, they're just going to kind of blow it off and never mention it again. But the scenario, again, you came up with, I'm hoping that's the case because then it makes sense. What we got last night did not make any sense, not to mention the fact that, did you hear the crowd cheering for him? Did you hear
yes,
the crowd chanting one more time? Oh, they
yes.
Like Cody so much. You mean to tell me Cody has zero friends? Nobody's going to come out to help him?
Right. Right.
And the fans are chanting for him to get beat up.
I agree with you. Where the hell was Owens and Zayn? Yeah, again, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. If Paul Heyman spoke those lines because he knew, character-wise, that Brock Lesnar was about to come out, fine. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. If not, terrible. But here's what I won't give him the benefit of the doubt about, Mike. Even if that is the case, which would be good writing, you ripped the fans off of a main event. These fans last night got nothing. This is the Raw after WrestleMania, and they virtually got nothing.
I mean, you could have still given them the match and still had the same thing happen.
Absolutely.
Just in the match, right? You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Start out with Brock. You know, we saw the whole handshake at the beginning of, at the beginning of the show, you know, and this, that, and the other. Okay? The handshake happens, then, you know, instead of starting it at 10 minutes till the hour, you started at maybe 15 minutes till the hour, right? And then, you know, wrestle for 10 minutes, and then about 5 till the hour, that's when the whole thing where the turn happens.
Wouldn't it have been much more impactful if you were going to do this, Mike? Wouldn't it be much more impactful if you had Cody start the match, be doing good for 4 or 5 minutes, really kind of cleaning house. Then he gets overwhelmed, double-teamed, tries to make it to the corner, can't make it to the corner. Fans are chanting, Brock, Brock, Brock. He's trying to make it to the corner. He can't. Eventually, Cody does that leap of faith just to touch the fingers of Brock Lesnar. The crowd pops, and Brock Lesnar gets in and F5s Cody. And then does the exact same thing to him. That would have been a lot better because the fans would have gotten their match to an extent. They would have gotten the false, oh, can't wait for Brock Lesnar to make the hot tag. Yes, Brock Lesnar's coming in. Oh, my God, look what he did to Cody. That would have been a million times better than what they did.
Right, and then to add to that, in the background, you have Paul Heyman just smirking away.
Yeah, if you're going to have Paul Heyman turn, I don't know what they're going to do. I know this. Last night's Raw, this is a WrestleMania Raw. This is the Raw after WrestleMania, where major, major things are supposed to happen. Nothing happened. You got the return of Matt Riddle. Woohoo! That's it. This was one of the worst. This was the worst post WrestleMania Raw ever. Beyond any shadow of a doubt, the way storylines are going, not only don't make any sense, they're not very interesting. That's another bad thing. The crowd was dead, so I don't know what they're going to say about all these crazy after post-WrestleMania fans, man. The Raw after WrestleMania is wild. Yeah, it was real wild. I thought I was in a library. It was horrendous. A horrendous Raw. And if this is true that Vince McMahon rewrote Raw and this is what he rewrote, you got a major problem. Because this in no way, shape, or form connected with any fans. In no way, shape, or form did this work. People who attend these Raws, and they tell me this, I didn't know this really. I haven't attended Raws in a while. They told me, depending on where you're seated, you may not even see the backstage stuff. When stuff is happening backstage and there's interviews or there's some kind of backstage whatevers, we may or may not see it, depending on where we're sitting. So there were times last night when they weren't even seeing some of this stuff going on. If you're there live, you got ripped off. And the Raw after WrestleMania, I'm sure, commands a very high price for the tickets. Tragic. Tragically bad. And if this is the best we're going to get, I'm worried now. I'm actually worried because obviously Brock has re-signed the contract. Vince is in charge, of course. Remember, I told you that would be the case. But if Triple H has now sort of been undermined, and officially he's still head of creative, but he has to run by Vince all the ideas, who gets to rip them up, we're in trouble. We're in big trouble. And I'm told morale is not high after this fail and the pretty much recognition that Vince McMahon is going to be in charge. Morale has went down. And we didn't even discuss the fact that Seth Rollins does a backstage interview where he says, I'm going to go out there and celebrate with the people. Now, you had to figure, okay, we're going to see Seth Rollins' next opponent. Somebody's going to come out. No. He just stands in the ring like an idiot, listening to people sing his music and then says, okay, bye. What? I mean, Tom, what in the hell was that? That doesn't make any sense at all.
That was probably the stupidest thing on Raw. Like, okay, he's going to go out and celebrate with the people. Your way of celebrating with the people is have them sing your song, which is getting annoying, by the way. Like, he's over. We know it. We get it. Okay, great. Fantastic. Stop being the Joker. It's annoying. And the fans singing your song is annoying. And then he just stands there and does nothing. I could have done that.
It didn't. Again, why are you wasting television time you could have given to the main event match in order to do it like I said and let the hot tag be when Brock Lesnar turns? Why are you taking television time away when you're not setting anything up for Seth? Now, if somebody had come out and confronted Seth, I would have said, okay, well, you're setting up a match. I get it. You got to give Rollins TV time to do this. Nothing. You want to do this, you know, when you do this, you do this before Raw goes on the air. You want to give the fans a Seth Rollins, fine. Before it goes on the air, you say, hey, Seth, go out there and celebrate with the crowd. And maybe we'll show a little snippet of it and say, you know, before Raw started, Seth Rollins was out celebrating with the crowd. That's fine. But you don't waste television time doing it. Just ridiculous. Literally. Recapping WrestleMania, like Tom said in the chat room, recapping WrestleMania stuff, it was more time than the matches. You didn't set anything up last night. What set up last night? That Matt Riddle's going to come back and fight The Miz? Whoa, stop the presses. Okay, Brock Lesnar's probably going to fight Cody. Well, that's not good news for either one of them, and I'll tell you why. If Brock Lesnar loses to Cody Rhodes, his credibility is over. And if Cody Rhodes loses to Brock Lesnar, he's finished. So pick your poison. Unlike most of Cody Rhodes' other opponents, no, all of Cody Rhodes' other opponents so far in the WWE, Brock Lesnar ain't going 20 minutes. Brock Lesnar ain't going to be doing all these give-and-take, back-and-forth wrestling moves that Cody likes to do. So it's not even going to give Cody the opportunity to have a good match. Not sure why this is happening. With that being said, if this were a normal Raw, I would still give it probably a D. Because I just don't see anything quality about it. But this was the post-WrestleMania Raw. This is where you're starting your new season and you're supposed to be like, wow, I can't believe what happened. There's so many good things on the horizon. This almost like reset it to, I don't care what's happening anymore on Raw. That's bad. So I'm giving this, I won't give it an F, but I'm going to give it a D minus because, you know, I do think Rey Mysterio and Theory put on a good match, and I do think Kevin Owens and Zayn and the Street Profits put on a good match, but it was all for nothing, really. So a good match alone doesn't mean it's a great show. A good pro wrestling show, you have good matches that create good storylines, that make you anticipate the next Raw. You had some good matches. It did not create any good storylines. It did not make me anticipate the next Raw. As a matter of fact, it made me say the next Raw is going to be a disaster. You're leading with The Miz versus Matt Riddle. I don't care. The Miz just got beat up by Snoop Dogg. I hope Riddle can handle him. Why don't you see if you can blow the dust off Bob Dylan? Maybe he'll go in there and beat Bobby Lashley, huh? Yeah, I'm a professional wrestler now. I beat Bobby Lashley. That sounds good. Bob Dylan's a legend, right? Let him go in there and dust Bobby Lashley. How's that? Maybe we'll do that. D minus from me, Todd. What is your rating?
I'm going to give it a D minus as well.
Just not the type of show that should have ever occurred after WrestleMania, Tom. What's your rating?
Well, let me tell you what, this Raw was an absolute train wreck, and I am going to give it an F for what the F did I watch, because I was so mad that they spent TV time on recapping WrestleMania. Like, you are taking up TV time, like 40 minutes of TV time. You could have gave an extra 10 minutes to the main event. You could have had planned matches, you know, to take up that TV time. Yeah, we get it. Okay, great. Recap WrestleMania. Why? Stop.
I agree. It's terrible. I'm only going to give it that extra half a grade higher due to the couple of matches where I think the guys worked hard. But, Mike, what's your rating this week?
I cannot give it that extra grade high. I got to give it an F. But I did like what they kind of teased with Bianca and Rhea. I did like that, though.
Yeah, the only thing is, you know, are we going to unify those belts? If we are, I'm good with that. But I don't see that working, because then one show is only going to have the chance, unless they can go to both shows. I don't know how they're going to work. I'd like to see the match. But, yeah, I mean, listen, I think Bianca had a good comeback in that when Rhea had basically said, you're lucky I didn't pick you. And Bianca said, there's a reason you didn't pick me. There's a reason you picked Charlotte Flair. If you thought I was the easiest person to beat, I think you'd have picked me. So that held some truth to it. I'd like to see that match. So you're right about that. Look, I could easily give this an F too. I'm not going to lie. I thought about giving it an F because, man, every single thing about this just screamed horrible booking, terrible logic, And just that little smidgen of, well, a couple of the guys worked hard, made me think, eh, two nights in a row they busted their ass. They want to come out here on night three and they still busted their ass. I have to give them at least a half a grade up for that. But I'm with you. This was a horrible Monday Night Raw. Absolutely horrible. And if this spells the return of Vince McMahon, Mike, we might be in for more of this.
Yeah, and I mean, here's the deal. Think about this. What were we getting when he was in charge? We were getting, you know, not only poor morale by the workers, but poor morale by on the creative, right? People were coming up with stuff. Oh, you got to run that by Vince, and either Vince poo-pooed it or it never got to Vince in the first place,
right?
Right.
Yep.
You know, so
yep.
It's not just poor morale with the boys, it's poor morale on the writing staff and the creative. So are we going to see that? Are we going to start to hear people that are on the Triple H's staff saying things like that, saying, well, I'm coming up with something X, Y, and Z, and something that I think is a good idea, and well, it's not, and Vince is poo-pooing it? Are we going to start to
Very
do that
possible,
again?
And if your name is Bray Wyatt, you might want to be worried because Vince never cared for the Bray Wyatt thing supposedly much, and oh boy. You know, Triple H was kind of keeping it going. We'll see what ends up happening with that. There was one more thing I wanted to mention, and that is a couple of fans sent me an article that said that a fan last night had a sign that said, give Dana Brooke a chance, and they confiscated that sign. Now, I'm going to tell you this. If you bring a thing that says AEW blows WWE out of the water, I get why they confiscate that. Why did you bring that? You brought that to be nasty and bring the show down. Okay? You brought that to be nasty. Or you have some kind of thing that says, I want to bang so-and-so. You can't do that. But you can't bring a sign that says, give Dana Brooke a chance. Why? Why can't you bring that sign? That really is censorship. That really is nasty. And if they came for my sign, and told me I had to give up that sign that was not vulgar, that was not derogatory to the show in any way, just expressing my thoughts that a woman that I happen to like should be given a chance, I would tell them, you're not touching my sign. And if you throw me out of this arena because of that, I'm taking you to court. You can't do that. You can't arbitrarily just say, I can't have a sign for my favorite wrestler. You can't do that. Now, if they don't belong in this federation, that's one thing. If you're saying bring back Sasha Banks, I get it. She's still on the payroll. You can't do that. Mike, that's absolutely outrageous.
It is outrageous. And unless they're planning on firing her, and they know they're going to fire her, you know, now, I haven't heard that they're going to fire Dana Brooke. To my knowledge, like you say, she's still on the payroll, and that is outrageous. I mean, why would you do that? I mean, that's almost like when the Cesaro section was going strong, and we saw a bunch of signs with that, you know, and they would take away a sign from that, right?
Yeah, this makes no sense, unless, you know, sadly, you may be right. Maybe she's going to be let go any day. But, I mean, if I brought up a sign that said, you know, give whoever, how about Tamina Snuka a chance, you're gonna confiscate that sign? I don't know, man. I don't like that. And that also spells return of Vince McMahon to me. Anyway, folks, a disastrous Raw. We can only hope that SmackDown's going to be better. We'll wait and see. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.